and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. This ends the word of God. This ends the reading from the Gospel of John. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. One of the downsides of our enlightenment and post-enlightenment age that we live in is that we don't really believe in magic anymore. And that is a problem for everybody, but especially for Christians, for people of faith. Because God is working wonders every day, all the time, every moment. And sadly, we outgrow such things. And we think we're more sophisticated and we know better than that. And Jesus would have us believe otherwise. You may recall, if you were here on Easter, I talked about the trick of the dying God, the magic trick that Jesus does, that God does in Jesus. And I use terminology, and so if you weren't here or you just need a refresher, of course, I use terminology that I like from the novel, The Prestige, written by Christopher Priest, and there was a movie of it directed by Chris Nolan, The Prestige, and especially because I like the word, The Prestige, I like this terminology. And so, just by way of refresher, Magic 101 in this terminology is, something is presented, so imagine I call a woman up out of the audience and present her. That is called the pledge. And then I make this woman disappear, right? Maybe she steps behind a curtain or in a box or something and she disappears. That is called the turn. The disappearance is called the turn. And then we want the woman back, probably. We weren't just trying to get rid of her, right? The trick isn't over. And so the woman reappears, usually in some sort of dazzling way. She comes walking in from somewhere else or comes out of the sky or whatever. But that is called the prestige, right? Ta-da! The prestige. And so the pledge, the turn, and the prestige. There's our magic 101. And it can be a coin or a deck of cards or the Son of God. So let's talk about that. One of the big things that is one of the greatest detriments to the church in the 21st century is that we misunderstand the incarnation of Jesus, the coming of God in Jesus Christ, as having only one part. And so here's how that goes, and here's the way I talked about this at Easter. The incarnation of Jesus is first the pledge, which is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, appearing in flesh. So there wasn't a time when the Son of God did not exist. He has existed from all eternity, for all eternity. But he came in flesh as a baby, and we talked about that at Easter and everything. So he came in the flesh, he grew up, he had a childhood, an adolescence, he learned to trade, he eventually had a ministry where he became this sort of wandering, wonder-working teacher, revealed to be the Messiah. And so that is the pledge. The presenting of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Messiah of God. So that's the pledge. The turn is that he is crucified, he is executed publicly for crimes against the state, and so he is killed, and then he is put behind a stone. And that is the turn. He sort of disappears. The same government that ruled him, executable, a criminal, puts him and verifies and puts a seal on the stone, and he is behind the stone, dead. And then on Sunday morning, right, the stone is rolled away, and there is nobody there. He disappears. That's the turn. And then the prestige, right? He appears again alive in the flesh, bone, blood, sinew, muscle, all of that. He is alive for 40 days or so. He walks around, talks with people, eats with people, is touched. At one time, he meets with over 500 people all at once. So there's no question that he is alive in flesh again. That's the prestige, right? So he went through full death. And was gone, and even the temple curtain in the temple was torn, revealing that God was not in the Holy of Holies. God was not in the tomb. Amen? Yeah, that's worth rejoicing about. But God is alive and well to this day. And so he was touched, his scars, everything still there. As far as we know, this is still the case. There is never a time where his body just evaporates. But that is part one of the incarnation. That is part one of the trick. And sadly, most Christians end it there and get some mixed up idea that the resurrection was about proving that there's life after death. And so we will go to heaven when we die. I mean, some big leaps in, I mean, if that were a story, those would be like plot holes or whatever. It would just be like, you know, we're missing some major point. How did you jump from that to that? That's not what Jesus talked about. That's not what seems to happen. That's not what the early church seems to believe. But somehow Christians today look at the resurrection and say, okay, that was it. And so he was zapped away, and we'll get zapped away too, and we'll go to heaven when we die, and that's what the resurrection was about. So let's talk about part two of the incarnation of the Son of God. The enfleshment, right? Incarne, carnes, just means enfleshing, the enfleshing of God. Interestingly, the pledge, which you may recall, is the beginning of the trick. That's presenting the person or the object or whatever that is going to disappear or whatever. The pledge is the prestige from the first trick. And what I mean is, the pledge is Jesus being presented alive in flesh. So this is the beginning. It was the end of the first trick, the end of part one, and it's the beginning of the next trick. The beginning of part two of the incarnation. Jesus, the incarnated Son of God, is presented alive. That's the pledge. After those 40 days of continuing to minister in full flesh, Jesus disappears behind the veil between earth and heaven. So he is seen no more. That's called the ascension. Jesus steps into heaven in his full flesh. He's still there. He's still that way. You can still see the scars and everything as far as we know. But he steps behind the veil between earth and heaven and is seen no more. And in heaven, he is exalted to the place of power and authority. He rules over heaven and earth. But we're not done, right? Did we just want Jesus to disappear? Wow, glad we got rid of that guy. We don't see him anymore. No, we've got to have the prestige, right? That's the turn. The ascension is the turn. So in part two, follow along, the resurrection is the pledge. The ascension, Jesus disappearing behind the veil into heaven, is the turn. But we've got to have the prestige where he reappears. And brothers and sisters, don't you know, that's Pentecost. That's Pentecost. All bets were off on Easter. When you have a resurrection, you got to give up figuring things out. I mean, really. And if you are following a living God, you have to give up thinking that you are in control. Has everybody succeeded in that? Has everybody given up trying to figure it all out? Has everybody given up thinking you're in control? All right, we're in this together, this struggle. But that's it. Nobody expects. It wasn't particularly shocking. It was devastating, but it wasn't particularly shocking that the person who said what Jesus said and did what Jesus did and claimed to be who Jesus claimed to be ends up getting killed, ends up getting publicly executed. That was devastating, but was not so much a shock. The resurrection was a shock. And after that, God's gloves are off. And so 10 days after the turn, when Jesus steps through the veil into heaven, 10 days later, as the people are gathered, about this many people, gathered together, praying together, the prestige, Jesus reappears in the power of the Holy Spirit. Incarnated, the incarnation part two, but instead of one man, Jesus from the town of Nazareth, it's you. It's your flesh. Highborn, lowborn, male, female, old, young, all nations, all colors, all backgrounds of people. God comes punching down walls that we put up and saying, all flesh will see the presence of the Spirit of God inside, infleshed, incarnated, all people. That's Pentecost. And the funny thing is, Jesus was setting it up. He told you there was going to be a trick. In the Gospel of John, what we just heard, did you catch it? In a little while, you will no longer see me. But then a little while longer, ta-da! The prestige. You will see me. Now he's talking about the crucifixion and his death and the resurrection, of course. But what's the context? Look at the context when he says that. All he's talking about is the coming of the Holy Spirit. If I don't go away, the advocate can't come. If I go away, the Spirit will come. If I disappear, I will come again. In the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'm not trying to commit the heresy of saying the Son and the Holy Spirit are the same thing, but I am saying that the Son and the Holy Spirit and the Father are the same thing. And if you're confused, welcome to the Trinity. So we'll just leave that there. If I don't go away, you won't get me in your own flesh. But if I do go away, the Holy Spirit will come and will carry on my ministry, my life in your flesh. And that is how the world will be saved. And so this is what he says. Now let's just break this down with these three things. When the Advocate, when the Holy Spirit, when I come and inhabit, instead of the flesh of this first century Palestinian Jewish rabbi, wonder-working Messiah, I inhabit your flesh, and you can fill out your own description, your own story. When I come and inhabit your flesh, the Holy Spirit through you, I through you, my life carrying on, will show the world to be wrong. Will show the world to be wrong. That's the first just thing. Real quickly, I'm going to say three things, but this is the platform that we're going to build on. We'll show the world to be wrong. And what was Jesus doing in his ministry? Showing the world to be wrong. And introducing a new way of being. Called, anybody? The kingdom of God. Jesus is replacing the world. The world's way of being has gone awfully wrong, way off course. So Jesus spends his entire ministry not just teaching about, but in power bringing the kingdom of God, showing that the world's way is wrong. But then he gets specific. So this is what you're called to, so don't miss out on this. The Holy Spirit in you is going to show the world to be wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. Now follow me on this. I'm going to give you three F words. Sorry. No, I can't figure out another way to say that. I'm going to give you three words that start with the letter F. How about that? Remember this. Okay, and I don't usually do that cheesy pastor stuff, but it just works out that way, so I think it'll help. So the first thing is, you, brothers and sisters, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God, are going to show the world to be wrong about sin because the world doesn't believe in me, says Jesus. The world doesn't believe in me. So you are going to show the world faithfulness. Faithfulness. That's your first F word. Faithfulness. Because isn't that what Jesus did? People kept coming to him and saying, if you would only do this, if you want to be part of our sect, if you want to be part of our group, you are a golden boy and you've got a promising future. And every step of the way, even to the devil himself, Jesus said, my success, my value is remaining faithful to the Father. Right? I will walk the narrow road while the world speeds down the broad highway. I will keep plodding along the narrow, rocky road. And so that's what Jesus is going to do in you. The world will see Christ in your faithfulness, your commitment to following God down the sometimes rocky, narrow road that leads to life, instead of choosing to follow the sinful way that seems like it's speeding along and everything is just fine, but ends up at a dead end, going nowhere. When the Spirit comes, when I am incarnated in you, I will show the world that they are wrong about sin. They're calling sin the good life. We're calling the good life, what they call the good life, sin, and remaining faithful. Number two, when I am incarnated in you, we, the Holy Spirit, will empower you to show the world that they are wrong about righteousness, about the right way of living, wrong about righteousness. And here the F word is, the world will know that, will see Christ in you when we live as family. Family. Because just as Jesus kept plodding along the narrow way, finding satisfaction in obedience and faithfulness to God, so he was prioritizing gathering a community, a small group around him. And at the end, that's what he is praying. I have remained faithful to you, Father. I have not lost any of the ones that you gave me except for Judas, the one who was destined for that. But the world will see Jesus in our family love for each other, watching over one another in love. And third, when I am incarnated in you, the incarnation part two, the Spirit through you will show the world to be wrong about judgment. Now hear this, because the ruler of this world now stands condemned. The ruler of this world now stands condemned. All of his empty promises, all the measures of success that the world gives us, all the lies, the needs for adulation, for approval, for attention, all the stuff that gets us to focus on ourselves and leads us to death will be shown to be wrong, here's your last F word, when you live the life of freedom. The world will see Christ in your freedom. I'm free from all that. I'm free from all that. I don't need to impress people. I'm not worried about the legacy I'm leaving behind, how much money I have, all the property and possessions I have. I'm not worried about the pleasures I can heap up for myself and my body. The world is wrong about those things. And I am free. I am free. The last trick is yours. The pledge. You present yourself to God. He stands up here now, the Holy Spirit whispering in your soul, saying, can I get a volunteer from the audience? Present yourself to God. And listen, when we say present yourself to God, I mean present your pain, present your struggles, present your dreams that have turned into disappointments. Present every part of yourself, your vices and your virtues. Let him enfold you in his embrace. Don't you sometimes just want to disappear? That's the place to do it. In God's embrace. That's the turn. He will turn you. He will give you a new dream. He will take the pain and give you new life. He will take your disappointments and give you hope. And then following the pledge, presenting yourself, following the turn of being enfolded in God's embrace, you are free for the prestige. As Christ is presented alive in you, a little more, day by day by day. And that, brothers and sisters, is worth believing in. That is true magic. Let's pray. Loving Lord, we do come during this time. Give us a new vision of reality. Help us to see the magic that is happening all around us every day, and the magic of transformation that you want to work inside us. We present ourselves to you now. We pray that whether it's this day or for a season of life, however long it takes for us to be held quietly, humbly, to disappear into your embrace, so that you can work your turn of transformation in our lives and present us again alive like Christ, a new person with new hopes in your power. We give all of this to you, Lord. We are done trying to figure it all out. Forgive us for trying to grasp at control. Help us to stand with arms and lives wide open for you to work your magic in us and through us in the lives around us. in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all the prestige is yours. Amen.